Well, good morning. Good morning, Open Arms Church. It is good to see all of you on this very fine Sunday morning. We have emerged from an ice storm and freezing cold. This is a typical wintry Sunday morning, so it's good to see all of you here, as well as those of you who are joining us via live stream. We extend a good morning to you. If this is your first time here at Open Arms Church visiting, we invite you, before you leave here today, there is a Welcome Center booth in the cafe area. Please stop by there. Take home a gift bag, our way of saying thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. As you came in this morning, you may have noticed a bit of a buzz in the lobby in the foyer area as we are getting ready and gearing up for the ladies' retreat this weekend, this Friday and Saturday. Ladies, who's excited for that? Let me hear it. All right. See, now when we did that with the men, there was this look like, yeah! But I appreciate the applause, the clapping. That was good. So in case you're not already aware, the focus, the intent of that time, this coming weekend for the ladies of Open Arms Church, is to individually and together discover how God has intentionally constructed your passions, your life experiences, your abilities, the spiritual gifts that God has given to accomplish His purposes. That comes out of passages like 1 Corinthians 12, where it talks about that God arranges the members of this body exactly as He chose to carry out His vision. So it's something that we're very excited about to walk through that, again, individually and together. If you haven't yet had the chance to sign up, please do so as you leave here today. If you are watching by live stream and you haven't been able to make it physically here the last couple weeks, but you want to be a part of that ladies' retreat, please email me today so we can be sure to get your name on that sign-up sheet. There's been a few questions about the timing, the schedule for this weekend, so I just wanted to quickly talk about that. It officially starts at 6 o'clock on Friday night, but come as early as 5 for fellowship, but dinner will be served at 6, followed by a session, followed by a small group that'll wrap up around 9 o'clock, but there will be activities after that, so for those of you that are night owls, you want to stay, feel free to stay as long as you'd like, but go home, sleep in your nice, cozy, warm bed, and then come back Saturday morning by 8 o'clock for breakfast, and there'll be a couple sessions followed by lunch that should wrap up around 1:30 or so. Dads, husbands, if you were part of the men's advance and that was a benefit to you, this is going to be a replica of that for your wives. So be sure to find ways to free them up to allow them to attend this very special event. I think that's all that I had to share this morning. So if you would now bow your hearts with me as I pray. Heavenly Father, as we come into your house this morning to worship you, we acknowledge, Lord, that we are weak, and yet you are strong. We acknowledge that we lack wisdom, but God, you are the author of wisdom. We acknowledge that we are broken, sinful people, and God, you are holy. And yet, despite that divide, Jesus, you came not only to be a bridge between us and a relationship with Father God, but Jesus, you're a sledgehammer that broke down the wall that separates a very unholy people from a very holy God. And so we worship you this morning. We are grateful for the opportunity to know you, to understand, to have your word opened up to us, to be able to understand that you want to have a relationship with us despite that great distance. And so, Lord, as we spend this time together this morning, would you tune our ears to hear? Would you help our eyes to see? Would you prepare our hearts to understand and receive what you have for us this morning? And we pray all these things, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.
Would you stand with us, if you're able, and sing out as we worship together?
Where, O grave, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? My biggest problem in all of the world has been taken away by Him. Where, O grave, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? My biggest problem in all of the world has been taken away. mountain that I've known will come. It's all the wrong that I knew I'd done. It was taken away. It was nailed to a tree once a slave. By faith I am free. My biggest problem in all of the world has been taken away by Him. Now my enemy, he accuses me. He prowls around, he lies, deceives. But I'll win the fight, I will overcome, 'cause the war already been won. Where, oh great, is your victory? Where, oh death, is your sting? My biggest problem in all of the world has been taken away by Him. So I set my hope on the grace to come. Send all of my treasure to the place I call home. I'll serve and I'll sing. I will not be moved. And I'll follow Him out of the tomb. Where, oh, grave, is your victory? Where, oh, death, is your stain? My biggest problem is all of the world has been taken away by Him. Where, oh, grave, is your victory? Where, oh, death, is your sting? My biggest problem in all of the world has been taken away. Biggest problem in all of the world has been taken away by Him.
So that is our hope, that this life is not all there is, that the grave's not the end of the story, that there's life after the grave. But on this side of the grave, we know that there's tough things can happen, and there are things that can be present in our life, things that can happen in our life that can cause us to be afraid as we wait for that hope on the other side of the grave. And the call for us, well, the promise is that he's with us, and that we can lean on Him. And as the psalmist says in several places, that when we're afraid, we can trust in Him.
When I am afraid, I will trust in You. When I am afraid, I will trust in You. When I am afraid,
when the waters rise,
the waters rise, I will cling to You. When the waters rise, I will cling to You. When the waters rise, You are my refuge. You are my shelter from this storm. You lift me up, Lord, when I am weary and afraid. You are my help. when this flesh is weak, I will call on you. This flesh is weak, I will call on you. When this flesh is weak, when I've lost my way, I will run to you. When I've lost my way, I will run to you. When I've lost my way, you are my refuge. You are my shelter from this storm. You lift me up, Lord, when I am weary and afraid. You are my helper, I will forever hope in you. Lord, be my refuge. Lord, be my shelter from this storm. Please lift me up, Lord, when I am weary and afraid. Be my helper, help me forever hope in you.
Sing that together as a prayer.
Oh, be my refuge. Lord, be my shelter from this storm. Please lift me up, Lord, when I am weary and afraid. Please be my helper, help me forever. Hope in you. Please be my helper, help me forever. Hope in you. Darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Reveal the kingdom. to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering, you saw to the other side. Knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Till the storm was moved for good, for the Lamb conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, then the Spirit in the flame. Christ, who has resurrected me.
Thank you for what you've done in accomplishing our salvation and bringing your kingdom. Lord, we look to that day when you come back. Lord, we open your word now as we wait. And Lord, we want to hear what you have to say. We want to understand. And we know you. We need your spirit. We need your help to do that. So please feed us. Please nourish us this morning. Help us to hear and to be changed. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Would you have a seat?
And as you're seated, I want to welcome you as well and greet you this morning, our friends and family who are watching live stream, as well as you who have filled this house of worship. It's good to see you this morning as we continue our study of the book of Revelation. What chapter we start today? Do you remember? 12. You're keeping on top of it. Excellent. So turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Do you ever sense that no matter how hard you try to live for God, to honor God, to do the right thing, that there is just forces against you? You just feel this pushback. Maybe you're not even a follower of Jesus yet, and you can acknowledge, I feel like there's cosmic forces at work against me, wherever I look to take that good step, that right step. Maybe coming to church this morning was one of those good steps and right steps. And you got a flat tire on your way. If you're still here and you got a flat tire, boy, you're on top of it. Maybe you'll get a flat tire on the way home. You say, oh, John cursed me. No, I didn't. But you ever sense that? Why, what's going on? It could even be from people who are in your life who you love and they love you and you care about them. It could be parents, children. It could be a boss. It could be a professor, a teacher, a coach, friends. You're looking to do the right thing and there's this push back. And right away we might think, oh, it's that person. We're going to see in our text this morning, God is saying, oh, there's something going on, all right, that's pushing back against you. And I know you think it's the person, but there's someone behind the person. There is a force behind the person, influencing that person. And we've been reading and studying, and we see this one. We're going to see in our text this morning, he's called the Red Dragon. He's called the Ancient Serpent. He's called the Devil. He's called Satan. And he's real. And in particular, he comes against godly people. Everybody, really. But in particular, godly people. Now, I don't know if you're the kind of person that when something's scary or you're about to encounter something that can be fearful, where you want to know as many details as possible. I mean, our family, when we go to an amusement park, we look for the roller coasters. Or at least I'm looking for the roller coasters. And when the girls were younger, they'd be in tow and there'd be questions. I'd be asking them, so what's this one like? What's that one like? I want to know a little bit about it. Because I love the thrill. The scarier, how many G-forces there is, oh good. My daughters are a little bit different, one of them anyway. She's like, well, how many RPMs does that go, Dad? I don't know, fast. How many twirls? A little? No, that looks like a lot. Okay. What's the matter? I'm afraid. I'm fearful. What are you fearful of? Well, what if I start to feel sick? Well, you see, we always sit in the front row of the roller coaster. So if you get sick, sweetie, just put your head back and it's their problem, not our problem. Well, what if I fly out? Well, that's why I'm going to hold you. And if you fly out, I fly out. I'm bigger. I'm going to hit the ground first. And it's like you falling right into a big marshmallow. I'll either get a chuckle or I'll get, Dad, I'm serious. I'm not going on. But others will be, hey, that looks life-threatening. Let's go. So I don't know how you are this morning when it comes to this truth. A spiritual oppression. Look at your outline. If you have your outline, it was given to you this morning. A few things I want us to walk away from this chapter this morning as we go to read. Satan is looking to persecute you because he hates you. He's real. He influences this world and every system in the world. That includes people, and we've been learning, and we'll see especially next week, he influences governments, always has, to come against God, stop God's work, and he comes against you and I if you know Christ, because he hates you. Expect it. We're on a roller coaster. But also, expect God's help. Expect to persevere. Expect to get through it because God loves you. And he says, I have a plan to help you get through. I have pathways. And he goes, the enemy is going to tell you there are no pathways. He's going to say, this is the end. You're undone. He's done with you. And God's going to say, whoa, 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 whoa. There's another voice. There is truth from the word that's going to tell you, no. You will persevere, my child, because I'm holding on to you. And when you fall, I will be there, because I'm a divine limiter, and I will see you through. And then we're going to walk through from this text at least three pathways that God has developed, God shows us, to help us persevere, to persevere well. Because we all can get through it, right? And be miserable as we're getting through it. God says, not my children. Why? Because you lift up your eyes, you lift up your heart. Where I live and rule, you gave it to me. Remember, you surrendered to me. So let me lead you. Let me fill you with my truth in these scary days. And if you're hearing, you're saying, I don't like to hear the scary stuff. I don't want to hear the scary stuff. Then I advise you, stick your fingers in your ears and just go, no, 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 for the next 30 minutes. You might annoy your neighbor, so go in the cafe. Oh, wait a minute, it's live stream in the cafe, so that doesn't work either. Let's take a look at these verses and see God's help for us. You notice the title of the message today is Conquering Satan. It comes right out of the text. You realize that? You're one of God's people. You have conquered him. You can conquer him. Verse 1. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who was to rule all of the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she was had a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. Now war arose in heaven. Now, a time out for a second here. So John gives us this picture of history, if you will. I'll let you know this woman is godly people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. That's this picture of the woman. We see it in the first verse where it talks about she's wearing the sun. She's standing on the moon. She's got a crown with 7 stars on her head. That's a literal woman. That's a symbolic. And that reminds us of Genesis 37:9, where Joseph has a dream. And what's in his dream? Moon, sun, stars bowing before him. Because what was about to be birthed, or what had been birthed, was the nation Israel. God's holy people, godly people. And then we see, and we're going to see here in the rest of this story, this woman who's for God and who God is for. But now, so we have a little history from John. This is a vision. He sees where? In heaven, right? And now he goes back even further. And he says, now I'm going to share with you this cosmic war that went on even before the woman. And we're going to be introduced to someone who even came against the first literal woman that God created. Look with me at verse 7. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, He pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child, but the woman was given the two wings of the great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness, to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. So do you see here? Persecution's coming. Expect it. Satan's behind it because he hates us. But do you see also here God's help in the midst of persecution? He's saying, I will help you to persevere. We see this woman. The first verse, there's a bigger picture. And some might say, well, wait a minute, this looks like it's Mary. Well, it is. She's one of the godly because she, as an individual, is giving birth to the child. And then we see the whole life of Christ in half a sentence. She gives birth, and who's waiting to devour that child? You see, the Savior, the Messiah, is spoken about in the Old Testament. You know who knows the Bible really, really well? The devil. He knew the Messiah was coming. He saw the signs. He understood. And he knew where. He knew when. Because he knows the Bible. He doesn't believe the Bible like believers do and turn and trust in God, but he knows it. And he's the master of twisting it. Didn't he do that with Jesus in the wilderness? Three times. He looked to thwart Jesus, to tempt Jesus with what? The Bible. With truth. Twisted it each time. And how did Jesus respond? With the Bible in proper context. And so the devil had no play on Jesus. And we see this one waiting to devour. We see in Matthew chapter 2, right? That after the wise men had come from the east and went to the king and said, where's the king of Israel? The one to be born in Bethlehem. We've been following the star. And all of a sudden, Herod, the trickster, the liar, the deceiver, who would do anything to hold on to his authority, influenced by the devil. When those magi, those wise men, didn't come back and tell him where they found him, because they were warned in a dream not to go back to tell him. The horror of him making a decree that every baby, every child, 2 years and under, be murdered, be killed. Satan, the accuser, the deceiver, the hater of God and all of God's people, wanting to devour. And then the sentence says, but God took him up. You see, there was a time when Satan thought, oh, I got him. Look what they're doing. I'm influencing the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees. I'm influencing Judas. Ooh, I'm influencing Peter. I'm taking him down. We got him. They killed him. He's hanging dead on a cross. He's buried. Victory. Hold on. Wait. 3 days. Raised from the dead. Ascended to the Father. Here's what this verse is talking about. So the whole life of Christ is half a sentence. And then we notice this one who was to be born and to lead and shepherd nation after nation with an iron scepter. Psalm 2, a very clear messianic psalm speaking of the one who would come to rule with that iron scepter. The strong one, the forever one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this dragon, we're told who he was. Notice in verse 9, that ancient serpent. Where have we ever heard that identifier for the devil? How about going to Genesis chapter 3, where there was a decree, commandment, instruction by God to the first man and woman he had created, and all of a sudden that serpent came, twisted God's word into the ears of Adam and of Eve. Let me share with you the dialogue from Genesis 3, 13 and 15. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman." That word enmity means great hatred, great hostility, ill will between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. In other words, eventually from the offspring of this woman will come one who will crush you. And that's Jesus. And the devil, this ancient serpent, knew that. And he came against God's people, Israel. Remember the woman with the sun standing on the moon, the 12 stars representing Israel, the 12 tribes. And then Mary, that one woman from the tribe of Judah, from where the Messiah would come, born there in Bethlehem, and on and on and on. And then we notice in that same verse 9, not only is he the serpent, he's the devil. The word devil literally means accuser. The word Satan literally means adversary and slanderer. That's who he is, and that's what he's looking to do. Did you hear the accusation this week? I did. Did you blow it this week? Did you join me in sin, offending God this week, missing the mark with an attitude, a thought, a word spoken, an action taken, something not done that you should have done? And you know it. The Bible tells us that is sin. And then did you hear the accusation, the condemnation, the guilt? How lousy you are. You see, he's still at work. He's still accusing. But guess what? It's fallen on a deaf ear. Because you didn't do those things? No, because you did those things. But the only one who can judge you, the only one who can condemn you for those things, if you're a believer, if you have by faith trusted in Christ alone and given him your life and said, "He died on that cross for me," the Bible says, you are washed, you are cleansed forever. I put my condemnation and my judgment on that child who is me, God the Son. Apostle Peter, who understands what it means to be pursued by the devil, Satan, the twisted, deceiving serpent, he would write later in his life these words. You see it, or a reference to it. I'll read it from 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties, all your fears, all your troubles, all your concerns on him, because he cares for you." Remember, the devil hates you, God loves you. Verse 8, "Be sober-minded." That means be clear-headed. Don't be caught up in all of the voices that are coming at you. Why do you go to all those other voices? He's saying, be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Oh, we've heard that before, haven't we? You're the one he wants to devour. He's prowling around looking to devour. Verse 9, resist him. Okay, come on. I'm as strong as, you know, Michael the Archangel, the lion from Wizard of Oz. Come on, right? The cowardly one. Don't you dare put up your dukes to fight Satan. That's not your role. That's Jesus' role. In Luke chapter 10, the disciples came back after God, through Jesus, giving them authority to go into towns and to share. They came back and they said, even the demons are subject to us. And Jesus says, fellas, I saw Satan fall from heaven like a thunderbolt. Don't be all excited that even the demons are subject to you, because they're not. They're subject to me. I've given you authority. Whatever you do in my name can be accomplished. You don't fight. We're going to see there's one who did fight him and who defeated him. A warrior angel. Not Gabriel, who is a spokesperson and the one who appeared to Joseph, most likely, definitely to Mary, but Michael. So we see God saying, I have a path for you. The first one I want us to take a look at, you see three pathways. God's supernatural intervention. We're going to see here how God intervened when the Satan, the adversary, the devil, the red dragon pursued. And how he does it, it's miraculous. When he does it, it's up to him. We see in verse 6, right? And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God in which she is to be nursed for a certain period of time. So God takes care of his people when the enemy looks to devour them. Notice verse 14. We see in verse 13, when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given the two wings of the great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. We see that by God using that language throughout the history of his people. The Bible tells us in Exodus 19:4 that Israel, being delivered from Egypt, and the Pharaoh, who was being influenced by God's people hater, the one who hated God, and it said, and she was carried through that time on eagle's wings. And then we see another authority, another government, Nebuchadnezzar, the king and ruler of Babylon, where we're told that for a time, God's saying, because of you, my people, Israel, who I love, because you've defied me and disobeyed me, I'm going to discipline you, and another nation is going to come in here. They're going to take you and bring the best of you to another land. But when I say it's time, I'm going to deliver you. You're not going to deliver yourself. You're not going to rise up and become a strong army and deliver you. I'm going to deliver you, and we love that text, don't we, in Isaiah 40, verse 31, and you shall mount up with wings as eagles. You shall run and not grow weary. You shall walk and not faint. You'll be like a young man. What's God saying? It's me who's delivering you. That's the context. And here he says it again. He says, I'm always going to come alongside. And how I want to and when I want to, I'm going to deliver you. And another one we see in verse 16. Now notice in verse 15, this is important. The serpent poured water like a river out of the mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. You know, we see even in Revelation 1, in that vision that John's describing Jesus. And it says, and when he opens up his mouth, there's like a double-edged sword coming out of his mouth. You see, in the Bible, in particular in Revelation, when it talks about something coming out of the mouth, it's saying it's words. You see, Jesus has something to say to you and I. He says, I've got the truth to share with you. The word of God is alive, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. We see in Hebrews 4, and here John refers to that when speaking about Jesus. And here, this river, I firmly believe, is actually the words that the devil uses against his people, the godly people. Floods of words, of lies and deceit, accusations. In John chapter 8, Jesus is having a dialogue with authorities, with religious leaders. They were sure he was of the devil. And Jesus knew they were of the devil. Listen to this dialogue beginning in verse 39 of John 8. They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. And you are doing the works your father did." They said to him, now notice this, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." So they thought they were going to insult him. Why? Because Jesus was born of Mary. She wasn't married to Joseph at that time. And so that had followed Jesus all of his life, an illegitimate child, born out of wedlock, born of sexual immorality. We're going to follow him? God would have something to do with such a thing? And so they're trying to insult him. Jesus can't be insulted. Jesus responds, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I come from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot hear or bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks of his own character. He is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me." Everything the devil says, as Satan says, when he opens his mouth, it's like a river. And it's all lies, all twisted. Notice, he deceives the whole world, tricks the whole world to having us think, "Well, I know what's right. Well, this is right." You and I can still get in that trap. As a believer of Christ now, he can still deceive me. And that's why I got to be listening to the Spirit and say, "Does that sound right? Does that sound like something that I, Almighty God, would say to you about somebody else? Is that how I see you? How you're thinking right now? Or do I see you as one fearfully and wonderfully made, a treasure of mine?" Oh, yeah. Who still blows it? Who still struggles? But I love you unconditionally. So this mouth that opens up from the devil, the washing that will take you down and will flood you and have you just so despair, God supernaturally helps. Look at that verse, verse 16. "But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth." God's always looking to help us supernaturally, in ways that he decides. You could probably reflect and look at your own life. Where you sense that oppression. You sense destruction. You sense, "I'm undone and I should be." And then somehow, some way, you were lifted up and out. The earth opened up and there, what was coming at you disappeared. We ought to praise God and thank him for his watch care. Secondly, the other pathway, look with me at verse 11. "And they have conquered him," literally overcome him. They've been given the victory by the blood of the Lamb. Do you know that for sure? The Lamb is referring to Jesus. I thought he was a lion. Yeah, he is. King. But he humbled himself and came as a lamb to be a sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for imperfect people. And here's what God says. Everyone who's under Christ, under the blood, the shed blood, because here's what the scripture says. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And God says, and the wage of sin is death. Spiritual death immediately, the moment you're born, and physical death at some point. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For God extended his love towards us in this way. While we were yet still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. And if you will confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You will be delivered. You will be set free forever, even though you might stumble and fall in your race. Are you covered under the blood of the Lamb? Have you come to that personal trust? I'm not talking about a belief. Oh, yes, I believe those things. I learned them in church a long time ago. Or I read a book. The scripture says, no, in that moment, it must become personal. Jesus, I'm the sinner. I am the one you bled out for on that cross. Forgive me. Redeem me. Because it's not by my good works. It's not by the many Bible studies I attend. It's not by the many good works I do and the generosity I extend towards others. God, when will it ever be enough? If it's those things, I'm exhausted. But no, you did the exhausting work. You laid it all out for me. And I believe that. Then the scripture says, then you've conquered him. Yes, he's a menace. Yes, he will accuse. Yes, he will pursue. Yes, he will grab hold of you. Yes, that assail will come from all around you. But you've conquered him. If you know and have declared and stand under Jesus Christ and his shed blood for you. Peter, that same Peter, would say this in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, beginning of verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be sober-minded. There he is again. Be a clear thinker. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. My dear friends, who needs to be ransomed? Every single one of us, because we've been kidnapped, born into captivity, our sin, our own rebellion against God. We need someone to ransom us. We cannot ransom ourselves. We are in chains, and God knows that. And he has ransomed us through Jesus Christ, not paying the bounty of gold or silver, millions or billions, but him, God Almighty, coming as his son, giving his life, saying, that's how much I love you. And you're hearing voices that say, I don't love you? Are you kidding me? If I gave my life for you, will I not also help you in this new life I've given to you, this life of sanctification, of walking with me? Of course I will. Stop listening to the accuser, the slanderer. Who will tell you what's wrong with you and what's wrong with everybody around you? And listen to me, who tells you the truth about you and yet how I still love you, and about others, and I've begun to work in them too, and I will complete it in them too. So commit them to me. By the blood of the Lamb. The third pathway, by the word of our testimony. Look at verse 11. They have conquered him, not only by the blood of the Lamb, but by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. Look with me at verse 17. When that dragon became furious, he went after the woman again to make war on the rest of her offspring. That's all of us who have come after Christ, who have trusted in him. We saw in the first verse, Israel, and now we see everyone since Christ, those who keep the commands of God and who hold to the testimony of Jesus. My friend, do you have that testimony? That word in your heart. I was once lost, but I've been found. I was spiritually blind, but now I see. Christ is in me. Christ has delivered me. Christ's death on the cross was all for me. I'm a child of God for eternity, for God loved me so. And I needed his Spirit to come alive. I need him even still every day to wash me and to cleanse me. He is my advocate. He was my propitiation. He was the good cost, the final cost, the full cost of my rebellion against God. 1 John 2:1-2 would tell us, for my sin. So I have that word. My dear friends, repeat that testimony to yourself over and over and over again. I have this incredible privilege of meeting so many of you, and as we begin to talk, for you for the first time, I listen to your story, your journey of faith, and then you might ask me my story. So I get to share it all the time. Oh, how I need that. Because I'm often listening to lies. I'm often myself being deceived. But to hear that testimony, to say, this is who I was and this is who I am because I'm a great guy. No. I have a great Savior. And share that testimony with others. As you share that testimony with others over and over and over again, it becomes clearer, concise. And you're saying, well, I don't know what to share. If you're in Christ, if the blood of the Lamb is yours, then you got a testimony. Don't you dare share my testimony. That's my story. I hope you got your story. A dead to life story. A blind to seeing story. A rebel to now a yielded child. That's your story. Share your story with others. Share your story with God. Share it with yourself. Share it with others. God, remember? He says, oh yeah. God, I'm in the midst of this trouble. I'm in the midst of this pursuit. I'm in the midst of this heartache. But God, you saved me, right? God, you're here with me, right? Oh, yeah. He'll remind you of his promises. He'll remind you of his faithfulness. He'll remind you of Revelation 12. It says, oh, yeah. And notice, so important. How do you know? How do I know? Well, because the commandments of God, you will cherish them. You won't buck against them. You won't try and skirt them. Oh, you'll struggle following them with your heart that still wants to be turned away from God. But you will love them because you will know these will bless me. These will protect me. God is not a cosmic killjoy. He protects and he loves me. He wants to bless me. Every one of his commandments are to teach me how to honor him and to put him first and to teach me how to honor other people and put them before me. That's phenomenal. Jesus would say, we see it in the latter portion of verse 11. He says, he who wants to save his own life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. That's what he's saying. He's saying they love not their own life, even unto death. Because here's what they say. So the persecutor, the enemy, comes after me, and my life is taken. I have eternal life. In that moment, to be apart from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. So if I'm gone, my life is taken, and I'm in Christ because of the blood of the Lamb, I'm under him. I love the reality of the eternal life that's been purchased by Jesus more than the life I live here on this earth. I acknowledge and I embrace, and I am an alien, a sojourner. I'm passing through onto my forever home in the presence of God. And in heaven. My friends, expect persecution. Satan hates you. Expect to persevere with God's help because he loves you. The pathways are evident. He supernaturally will lift you up. He has sent his son to die on the cross, and his blood covers over your sin. Do you believe that? And then you have this testimony. Repeat it. Share it with your best friends. Share it with your family again. Don't say to them, oh, you need to hear this because you're a wretch. You say, I need to share you the story because, man, was I a wretch. And I still act wretched. This last text from the St. Peter, chapter 1, verse 3, beginning of verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always being prepared to make a defense, to answer to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Let's pray. Lord, it's amazing. We're conquerors because you're the conqueror, Jesus. How we need to be faithful, how we need to grasp and understand, how we need to have an expectation that all the time we will be persecuted. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, there are principalities, powers, evil spirits at work. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. It feels like that. But there's something at work behind all of that. So it tells us to stand firm, to dress in the armor that you have given to us, and then stand firm, and to pray. Pray always to you, the helper, the redeemer, the ransom payer, and the one who makes clear every time we share it this incredible story, this testimony of your goodness and of your grace and of redemption. So meet us here, every precious heart, that we might hear you and listen to you and follow you. And for those here, maybe today is a day that they say, I get it. God, you've given me understanding. Right now, Jesus, save me. I believe in my heart is exploding because I know all my sin would have me undone. But the fact that you allowed yourself to go to the cross, that God put on you my punishment so that I might be redeemed, ransomed forever, and have your help to live this life, I believe. Save me, a sinner. I'm lost. I've just been found by you. I've been spiritually blind. I can now see, even this morning. God, we rejoice with the angels in heaven over that one who has turned to you. May we be a good steward of that precious soul to help them, to encourage them, to point them to that word, Jesus himself, as we walk together, even the rest of us as a body. So let us remember, he is conquered by you. And we live out that conquered life by your help, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the sharing of our testimony. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's no space that his love can't reach. There's no place where we can find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. Be in with your arms spread wide. Take me in like an orphan child. Never let go, never leave my side. I am. I am. This is my resurrection song. This is my hallelujah come. This is why it's to you I run. This is my resurrection song. This is my hallelujah come. This is why it's to you I run. There's no space that His love can't reach. There's no place where we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm,
thanks for being with us this morning. Let's hold on to him this week. Stay warm. We'll see you soon.